playing God. He smiled. Speaking of God, I don't pray for much besides health these days. But I do pray that one of these losers you take for a ride as part of your job actually ends up surprising you and turns out to be a decent man. I don't want to have to worry about you when I'm gone someday.
I can take care of myself just fine. I don't need a man.
It's not about finances. I know you're a strong, independent woman, honey, but the truth is, everyone needs someone. The only reason I was okay after your mom died was because I had you.
Well, it's a good thing my daddy isn't going anywhere anytime soon. I winked. My visit with Dad lasted a few hours. After I'd stuffed myself with the yummy food he'd laid out for me, I called a car to take me back to the train station. Since Dad and I had shared a bottle of wine over lunch, I didn't want him driving me. When my father walked me out to wait for my Uber, he looked up at his weather apparatus. He scratched his chin.
Hmm.
What?
Humbug says it's gonna rain.
Sure enough, as I traveled home that afternoon, the storm my father predicted came through, pelting the windows of the train. Then, after, a beautiful recurrence of the late afternoon sun shined over the New York City skyline in the distance, filling me with hope and, much to my dismay, continued thoughts of Sebastian Maxwell. Chapter 6. Sadie. I typed, Sebastian Maxwell Restaurant. The keys clicked as I immediately deleted the words. No, I can't go there. After a few seconds of staring at Google, I typed again. Sebastian Maxwell Restaurant, New York. This time, instead of deleting it, I hit enter. The About Us section of a website popped right up in the search results. Bianco's Ristorante. I read it. Bianco's Ristorante was founded in 2012 by Sebastian Maxwell, a New York City entrepreneur, and his wife, Amanda, a master chef. The Maxwells were heavily inspired by Sebastian's paternal grandmother, Rosa Bianco, who emigrated from northern Italy in 1960. Over the years, Sebastian saved all his Nonna's recipes, and today, together with head chef Renzo Vittadini, has crafted one of the most decadent menus in all of the tri-state area, boasting old-world recipes infused with a modern flair. Bianco's top-notch cuisine coupled with its dimly lit, rustic ambiance makes your night out more than just a meal. It's a culinary experience. From intimate dinners to private events, contact us to make a reservation. I clicked over to the menu tab. Each entree was named after a person. Renzo's ricotta pie, Nonna Rosa's chicken parmesan, Birdie's pasta bolognese, Mandy's manicotti. Mandy. Amanda. Sebastian's salt in bocca. They had an extensive wine list.
What you doing?
I jumped at the sound of Devin's voice from behind. You scared me.
Why did you tab over to another screen just now?
No reason. You know, I'm not really supposed to be goofing off. She smirked.
What's Bianco's?
Great. She'd caught the name at the top of the tab. I let out a long breath but tried my best to still sound nonchalant. It's Birdie's dad's restaurant.
Nice.
She laughed, all too pleased with my apparent weakness.
You know I'm down with the stalking, especially the stalking of that amazing-looking specimen.
I know you fully support it, but I feel stupid doing it.
But a part of you can't help it, right?
I shrugged. He's intriguing. Her eyes filled with excitement, like a giddy kid who'd just found out the carnival was coming to town.
So when are we going?
I'm suddenly craving a nice big bowl of al dente pasta.
Oh, no. That's where I draw the line. Online stalking is one thing. That's a leisurely pastime. Innocent, even. But showing up in person? No.
I shook my head.
No, no, no.
It's a public restaurant. How is that stalking?
Rustling some of the papers on my desk, I said, Devin, drop it.
Would you care if I checked it out, then? Armando and I have been looking for a new place to try.
Are you going to tell your fiancé that the real reason you're taking him there is to check out the hot owner?
She waved her hand dismissively.
He doesn't have to know that. He loves food. He'll be thrilled. Devin leaned over to my computer. Can you make a reservation online? I don't know. I didn't check because I had no intention of going. Let me see, she said, grabbing my mouse and maximizing the screen before perusing the site. Ah, she grinned. What are you doing, Devin? She proceeded to type in all her information. The only opening was 5 p.m. on Saturday. It looks like everything beyond that is taken. Good thing I love early bird specials like an old person anyway. Shaking my head, I said, You're nuts. She winked. I'll let you know if I spot him. 2 weeks passed. Summer was coming to an end soon, and no more letters from Birdie had arrived. Devin and Armando ended up having that amazing and very expensive dinner at Bianco's, with no sign of Sebastian Maxwell whatsoever. That's what she gets for trying to stalk him. Because it had been a while, I'd been pretty convinced that I wouldn't hear from Birdie again. Then one afternoon, much to my surprise, in the middle of my usual stack of mail was a letter from my little friend. My pulse raced as I ran to my desk, dumped the rest of the mail down, and ripped open the envelope. Dear Santa, did Mommy tell you she came to visit me at Central Park? I know you gave her my message because there was a black horse like I told you about on the carousel. She sent a butterfly to lead me to it. I don't know if she sent a butterfly or if the butterfly was really her. Anyway, it was so amazing. I miss her so much. But can you ask her why she isn't trying to come see me anymore? I keep looking for her, and she hasn't given me any more signs. Now that you reached her and she found a way back, I thought she would want to spend more time with me. I'm worried she might be mad at me now that she can see me. Maybe she knows what I did to Susie's hair, or that I sometimes steal cookies in the middle of the night. Can you just tell her to send me one more sign so I know she's not mad, even if she can't stay? I'm sorry to bother you again, Santa. This will be the last time, I promise. Birdie. As I folded the letter while tears streamed down my cheeks, I realized that maybe Birdie wasn't the only person who needed help anymore. It had been a long time since I'd visited my shrink, Dr. Eloisa Emery. Her office overlooked Times Square, which I always found ironic, since the view from her window was just about the most chaotic thing I could imagine. Definitely not a relaxing atmosphere for a therapy appointment. During my sessions, I'd stare out at the massive, ever-changing digital billboard as I attempted to gather my thoughts. I'd been suspecting I needed my head checked for some time, and today I was taking that literally, sharing the story of Birdie and hoping that Dr. Emery could help me move past everything. I'd just finished telling her about our letters and ended on the most recent one I'd received. The tone of this one seemed more panicked, I said. She was truly worried that she'd done something to keep her mother's spirit away. There was no usual PS at the end either, so the overall tone was a bit short. It made me realize that I had really made things worse in setting her up to find that horse, even if it was the butterfly that ultimately led her there. She pulled off her glasses and set them on her leg. So you're feeling lots of guilt? Yes, of course. Now there's an expectation for more from her mother when there isn't anything more. I started a mess. Her mother's dead, and any implication that Birdie could still communicate with her is misleading. Dr. Emery put her glasses back on and scribbled a few things down in her notebook before looking up at me again. Sadie, I think it's going to be important for you to learn to accept the fact that you can't change anything you've done thus far. You know now that playing with fate the way you have, as charming as it was, is really not the wisest idea. So I do think you need to really rip the Band-Aid off here. My hands felt sweaty as I rubbed them along my legs. What do you mean by that exactly? You seem incapable of not engaging whenever she contacts you. I think on some level, you're so invested because she reminds you of yourself, so it's almost like you've been given this opportunity to do for someone else what wasn't done for you. And that was hard to resist. You're also connecting with your inner child a bit. But now you know that engaging is harmful. And the more you engage, the harder it's going to be to stop. So perhaps, if she contacts you again, you should not open the letter at all. Shaking my head repeatedly while staring out the window, I said, I can't do that.
Why not?
Because I have to at least know she's okay, even if I don't engage.
She doesn't know you exist. She doesn't know you have developed feelings for her. Therefore, your feelings, no matter how strong, do not impact her. If you're not communicating back with her, and if you've vowed to no longer interfere by pretending to be Santa Claus, then you mustn't involve yourself in any way in her life. That includes reading her letters.
She tilted her head.
Can you do that? Can you cut all ties for your own good and, ultimately, the good of this little girl?
I gazed out at the billboard and watched it change approximately 3 times before I finally said, I'll try.
Chapter 7. Sadie. It had been almost a month since my last letter from Bertie. I'd followed Dr. Emery's advice and not written back to my little friend, even going as far as putting Devon on mail patrol, asking her to weed out my daily delivery of any new letters that Bertie might send. Though I'd broken down on more than one occasion, demanding to know if any had come, and Devon swore that she hadn't had to intervene. Lately, I'd even stopped dwelling on whether my letters had done more harm than help, but today wasn't one of those days, though for good reason. I had an appointment on 81st Street with a professional matchmaker, not for me personally, but research for the magazine. Next month, I planned to write an article on the pros and cons of using a service, and today was my first interview. Kitty Bloom ran the agency I'd visited and gave me tons of great information for the piece. She'd also given me a free 30-day membership, which went for a staggering $10,000. Although if I wanted to give it a whirl, I'd have to submit a ton of personal information, from medical clearances and a psychological profile to financial statements and a detailed questionnaire that asked about everything from my hobbies to my fetishes and sexual appetite. I accepted the gift, but wasn't sure I wanted someone poking their nose into my business. It was a beautiful evening, so I decided to take a walk. The matchmaker's office was on the ground floor of a block filled with beautiful brownstones, and the Upper West Side was one of my favorite neighborhoods that I could never afford. I was on the corner of Broadway and 81st Street, and Bertie lived somewhere on 83rd Street, which could be close by. I really shouldn't. I'd been so good lately. But I'm already here. What harm could it do just to pass by? I'd taken an Uber uptown because I'd been running late, but I could grab the train back downtown from a few different nearby stations, so it wasn't like I'd really be going out of my way if I strolled for a bit in any direction. I could just walk up 83rd, and if I happened to pass Bertie's house on my way to the train, then that was fate. I remembered her house number, only because it was my parents' anniversary, February 10th, or 210, but I had no idea what block it crossed with. So it really was up to chance whether I passed it or not. If I reached a train before I came upon Bertie's house, then I'd get to see her house. Big whoop-de-doo. Yet, it felt so wrong. Especially as I turned down 83rd Street and caught the number on the first house I passed. 230. Oh my God. 83rd Street ran forever. It had to be at least a half mile on the west side alone, from Central Park down to near the Hudson River. Yet the very first block I turned onto happened to be the one that Bertie lived on. It sort of freaked me out a little bit. My blood started to pump faster with every step. 228, 226, 224. It was one of the next 8 or so houses up ahead. Damn, the neighborhood was really nice. Bertie lived on a tree-lined street of brownstones worth some serious money. I didn't know why, but I had envisioned her living in an apartment building, cramped for space like the rest of us in the rat race, not in such a luxurious home. These things went for millions. Even if they didn't own it and only rented a floor out, it would still be big bucks. I started to slow down as I counted the addresses. 220, 218, 216. Bertie's house was only 3 more away. When I came right upon hers, my heart started to beat so fast. I slowed my walking speed and tried to get a look inside the windows, but it was about 10 steps up to the front door from the sidewalk, and I couldn't really see much from down here.
disappointment came over me. A few steps after passing the staircase that led up to Bertie's front door, I forced myself to stop staring like I'd been casing the place for a potential robbery. As I looked down, something shiny caught my eye out of my peripheral vision, sitting on the bottom step of the stairs. Is that? No, it couldn't be. I looked around. No one seemed to be paying any attention, so I backed up and bent down to take a closer look. My eyes widened. Oh my God. A silver hair barrette was lying on the bottom step, the kind a little girl would wear to clip back her hair when her father sucked at making braids. And it had a silver butterfly on it. Butterflies. Bertie. There was no doubt that the two went together. Without thinking, I picked it up. Only, what the hell was I going to do with it once it was in my hand? I supposed putting it somewhere safer would be the right thing to do. The pretty little clip could just blow away out here on the last step. Or at the very least, someone could step on it and break it. It didn't look like anyone was home in the Maxwell house anyway. I could just leave it at her front door. Yeah, that was a good idea. The fact that I might get a better look inside the windows from up at the top of the stairs was just a coincidence. I was doing the right thing, after all, making sure Bertie's little barrette didn't get broken. She could be attached to this thing, for all I knew. Glancing around again, I noticed there was also a door underneath the main staircase, a few steps down from ground level. Maybe the Maxwells lived in the basement apartment? Though my gut didn't think they did. So I took a deep breath and started up the brownstone stairs. My knees wobbled a bit as I climbed to the top one. God, I really was nervous. From the sidewalk, I hadn't realized how tall the front doors were. The double set of ornate glass doors had to be at least 10 feet, maybe more. Looking to my left, I could see right into the front window, which gave me a partial view of a big living room. A man's suit jacket was lying over the top of a chair across from the sofa, and I wondered if it belonged to Sebastian. I stood there staring for a long moment, trying to pick up any small details I could see. The titles of the books on the bookshelf, the photos inside the frames on the mantel, until suddenly, the curtain moved. Someone was home. I felt all the color drain from my face. Oh my God, I need to get the hell out of here. Panicking now, I looked for a place to leave the hair clip, finding nowhere suitable. I balanced it on the top of the doorknob, thinking someone would either see it, or if they didn't, it would fall to the floor when the door opened and snag their attention. Then I started to haul ass back down the stairs. My heart was pounding so fast it felt like I was running from the scene of a crime instead of doing a good deed returning a little girl's favorite hair clip. I made it only a few steps when I heard a clanking sound from behind me, the sound of a lock opening. Freaking out, I kept going, until a deep voice stopped me in my tracks.
Hey, you, what are you doing?
Oh my God. I closed my eyes. That voice. Of course, I'd only heard Sebastian Maxwell speak briefly at the carousel, yet I was 100% positive it was him. That deep, rich, sexy baritone rasp totally went with the rest of the package. When I didn't respond, he snapped again, the second time louder.
I said, where are you running to?
I took a deep breath, realizing I was going to have to face the consequences of my actions, and slowly turned around. Jesus Christ. Sebastian was even better up close. It looked like he'd just gotten out of the shower. His hair was wet and slicked back, and he had on a simple white t-shirt and gray joggers. Standing so close, I became mesmerized by the color of his green eyes. They were so unusual. Not hazel, or the green color that most people have, which resembles jade or moss, but the bright color of a brilliant emerald, and the areas surrounding his pupils were filled with flecks of gold.
You're late, he barked. The bell isn't working. I have to fix it this weekend. So you're going to have to knock a little harder and be on time if you want this job. I have to leave for work in 5 minutes.
Job?
You are the dog trainer, aren't you?
His beautiful eyes were boring into me, and it made me more than a little nervous. In the moment, I felt like he could see straight through me, and was going to think that I was some sort of a crazed stalker of his 10-year-old daughter. I mean, I was, of course, but there was no way I wanted him to think that. So I panicked. Yes. Sorry I'm late. Traffic. What the hell am I doing? He motioned toward the house.
Well, hurry up. Let's go. I don't have all day. I'll introduce you, and then you're on your own. Have him back in an hour. The babysitter will be here by then, and she'll take him when you return. Whatever commands need to be learned for homework, teach them to Magdalene. She's here more than I am anyway.
I hesitated but began to walk up the stairs again. My knees shook more and more with each one. When I got to the front door, Sebastian was already inside. I took a few cautious steps into the vestibule, and out of nowhere, I was attacked. All right, so attacked might not be the right word, but I was suddenly knocked on my ass, with two giant paws pressed to my chest holding me down, and the biggest tongue I'd ever seen began to slurp the side of my face.
Marmaduke, Sebastian yelled.
The giant black-and-white spotted Great Dane looked over his shoulder and practically laughed at the big, angry man looking down at him. He then proceeded to go back to licking my face. After the shock wore off, I was somehow able to push the behemoth off me. I wiped the saliva from my face and climbed to my feet, only to find Sebastian looking not so happy. What the hell? I was the one who had just gotten pillaged, not him. He put his hands on his hips.
I seriously hope that wasn't a demonstration of your training skills. You had less control over him than I do.
I got annoyed. What do you expect? He knocked me over without warning. Nice of you to extend a hand to help me up, by the way. Sebastian scowled.
You don't look German.
I dusted off my pants. Well, that's probably because I'm not. He squinted at me.
Then why do you teach your training commands in German?
Oh, shit. I blinked a few times before pulling an answer out of my ass. Please don't start questioning my methods already. If you don't want me to train your dog, who clearly needs training that you're not capable of providing, then say so, and I'll just be on my way. The corner of Sebastian's lips twitched upward.
Fine. I'll get his leash.
Seriously? What the hell was I doing? I had needed a visit to Dr. Emery to discuss my actions surrounding a little girl who had written to Santa. What did pretending to be a dog trainer who taught commands in German warrant, then? Being institutionalized? Lord, how the hell did I get myself here? Sebastian came back with the leash and handed it to me. I was surprised when he softened his tone and extended his hand.
I apologize. I didn't introduce myself. That dog just gets the best of me sometimes. I'm Sebastian Maxwell, and I assume you must be Gretchen.
Gretchen. Of course. Because the woman not from Germany who trains in German would logically be named Gretchen. I put my hand into his large one and shook. The minute my skin made contact with his, my pulse took off like a runaway train. When his grip tightened around my hand, it sent a shock of electricity up my arm. Great. More unsettling behavior to discuss with Dr. Emery. Though it did make sense that I lit up like a Christmas tree since I was damn Santa Claus. I need a loan to pay for my therapy sessions after today. Pulling my hand back, I focused on getting the hell out of there. Apparently, I'd be taking my new student with me. I managed to clasp the end of the leash onto Marmaduke's collar and did my best impersonation of a professional animal handler. Okay, so I'll be back in an hour. I tugged at the giant dog's collar, and amazingly, he followed. Just to solidify that I was totally losing it, I turned back at the top of the steps and smiled at Sebastian Maxwell. Danke. After I said it, I started to question whether that was even German for thank you or not. Oh well, too late if it wasn't. Marmaduke bolted down the stairs, and I had to run to keep up. At the bottom, I stood my ground and yanked hard on his leash. Whoa, I said. Shit, whoa? That was for a horse and in English, wasn't it? I looked over my shoulder and back up the stairs, hoping Sebastian had gone back inside and hadn't heard me. Of course, I had no such luck. Sebastian stood at the top of the stairs watching me. He looked really damn skeptical. Yeah, you and me both, dude. You and me both. Marmaduke and I went to a nearby park that had a doggy run, which meant I could let him off the leash in the fenced-in area while I Googled dog training. I spent a good half hour reading up on the basics of schooling a dog on obedience, and then asked Google for reasons to train a dog in German. Surprisingly, it was more common than I would have guessed. Many people trained dogs in the native language of the breed. And who knew? A Great Dane wasn't actually Danish. It was of German descent. So that made sense, I guess. Plus, training in a foreign language made it easier for the animal not to get confused when others used common words near them. I also looked up a couple of words for basic training in German. Sitz meant sit, Platz meant down, and nein meant no. I figured Marmaduke desperately needed those three words in his life. The one good thing about a big puppy with a lot of energy was that he wore himself out pretty fast. Once he seemed more subdued, I took him out of the doggy area and went and found a quiet tree to sit under and work on training him. He laid his enormous body across my legs. I petted him as I spoke. So, Marmaduke, tell me about the people you live with. Is Sebastian as much of a jerk as he seemed like back at the house? He's definitely not anything like I'd expected him to be after hearing about him from Birdie. When I said Birdie, Marmaduke started to wag his tail. I wanted to see if it was a coincidence or not, so I waited until his tail stopped wagging and then talked to him a little more. Yeah, so I expected a really nice guy, maybe soft-spoken, even though he's clearly a big dude like you. But Sebastian's kind of a meanie, isn't he? Nothing. Marmaduke just kept looking at me, but his tail didn't budge. I really hope he doesn't talk to Birdie like the way he spoke to us. The minute I said Birdie, the dog's tail took off wagging. I smiled and scratched his ears. Yeah, I get it, buddy. I could tell she was really special just from her letters. I'm glad you're there to protect her. Birdie had written in one of her first letters that she'd asked for a dog for Christmas and Santa hadn't brought her one. So I couldn't help but wonder what made her father get one now. Was some stalker lurking around the neighborhood, and he felt she needed some protection when he wasn't home? Well, some stalker other than me, that is. I hoped that wasn't the case. I really needed to teach this dog something today, because it was almost time to bring him back already. But most of the training information I'd read said you needed dog treats, so I improvised. I dug around inside my purse for whatever I had that might be a decent substitute. Unfortunately, I didn't come up with too many choices. Only one stick of gum and a Kind bar, which was mostly nuts. Since half the world seemed to be allergic these days, I Googled, "Can dogs eat nuts?" to be safe. They could, but needed to avoid macadamia and walnuts. After checking out the ingredients of my Kind bar, I shoved the stick of gum in my mouth and stood. Marmaduke stood right along with me. I broke the Kind bar into a few pieces and showed him one. Sit, I said sternly. Oh, wait, no. Sitz. The dog just looked at me. I sighed and called up one of the better articles I'd read on dog training and scanned for the section on teaching a dog to sit. Step one, kneel directly in front of your pet. Great. Grass stains on my white pants. I took a deep breath and dropped to my knees anyway. Step two, holding the treat in your hand, let your dog see their reward, then bring it to their nose. That seemed kind of mean. I hoped Marmaduke wouldn't lunge from my fingers and take a few of those along with the Kind bar for taunting him. But he didn't. Maybe the person who drafted this article was onto something. So I continued. Step three. Tuck the reward into your hand and raise your hand upward. Tell your dog to sit. I tucked the chunk of nut bar into my palm, then spoke in a stern voice. Sitz! Holy shit. Marmaduke sat. He actually sat. I gave him the treat and scratched behind both of his ears. Good boy, you're a good boy. By the time I left the park to head back to the Maxwell house to return my prized student, he'd followed my command at least 5 times. The very last time, I didn't even have a treat in my hand. The moment I raised my arm, he simply parked his ass on the grass. I couldn't believe it. But while I'd managed to accomplish one small task, I definitely was not a professional trainer, and I needed to nip this craziness in the bud. My meddling in Birdie's life had already caused enough damage. I was supposed to be stepping back from interfering, not diving into it headfirst. Though I had to admit, I was really excited to get to meet the sweet little girl. And the fact that I was returning to the sitter and not Sebastian made me feel way less stressed than I would have been if I'd had to face him again. I arrived on 83rd Street a few minutes later than the time I was supposed to return. Stopping to take a few deep breaths, I recomposed myself and headed up the flight of stairs to the Maxwell brownstone. I rang the bell and waited, but no one came to the door. After a minute, I remembered what Sebastian had said about the bell being broken and that I needed to knock loudly. So I did. A pleasant-looking woman who was probably in her mid-50s answered the door. With her warm smile, she wasn't nearly as intimidating as the guy I'd had to deal with earlier.
"You must be Gretchen," she said.
I nodded.
"Yep, that's me. Gretchen the dog trainer."
She stepped aside.
"Come in. I'm Magdalene. Mr. Maxwell said I should learn anything that we need to work on at home to help with Marmaduke's training."
I looked around as I entered. The house was quiet. No sign of either Sebastian or Birdie.
Is Mr. Maxwell home? Everyone is welcome to join in on the training."
She shook her head.
"No, he left for work. He works nights. But his daughter and I are anxious to work on the training. He's her dog."
My heart did an unexpected little flutter at the mention of Birdie. "His daughter's dog."
"Oh, okay. Can she join us?"
Magdalene shook her head.
"No, she's out with her Girl Scouts troop doing a fundraiser in front of the supermarket, but I'll teach her whatever you think we should work on."
I felt deflated. No Birdie. Swallowing a sigh, I nodded.
"Okay. Well, today we worked on sit, but his commands are in German. I'm out of treats. Would you have any so that I can demonstrate?"
"Sure, just a moment. They're in the cabinet in the kitchen. Please make yourself at home while I grab one." A part of me felt so guilty about what I was doing. Yet another part of me couldn't help but look around, given the opportunity. The uglier part won out when I saw the framed photos on the mantle above the big fireplace that I'd spotted earlier from the window. My heart squeezed when I picked up the first one. It was a picture of Sebastian and his wife bundled up in winter coats and hats, in front of a snow-covered mountain. They both had on skis, and Sebastian held Birdie up in the air with one arm, and she had a snowboard strapped to her little feet. She couldn't have been more than 5 or 6 in the picture. Her chubby cheeks were all red, and she wore the biggest, happiest smile I'd ever seen. Even though Sebastian looked super handsome, it was Birdie's smile that I couldn't peel my eyes from. Magdalene returned before I could stop staring. Seeing what had captured my attention, she smiled sadly.
"That's Mr. Maxwell and his daughter, Birdie."
She made a sign of the cross.
"And his beloved wife, Amanda. She's gone now. God rest her soul."
I felt myself starting to get all choked up, so I coughed to clear my throat and set the frame back down.
"Well, they're a very beautiful family."
Magdalene nodded. She handed me the dog treat, and I returned my attention to Marmaduke. I hoped like hell he remembered what he'd learned. Following what we'd practiced, I let him see the treat and then held up my hand with it tucked inside.
"Zits,"
I said. Miraculously, Marmaduke sat right down. Magdalene smiled.
"Oh my goodness, you're very good at your job. This big boy doesn't listen to anyone."
As nutty as the entire situation was, I still felt proud of what I'd accomplished.
"Thank you,"
I smiled. "Or danke." I almost laughed after I said that last comment, but I couldn't help getting into the act. After my demonstration, I gave Magdalene some tips I'd picked up from the internet, and then it was time to go.
"Okay, well, good luck with him. He's a sweet dog."
Magdalene walked me to the door.
"You'll be back next week, right?"
Well, Birdie is going to be so upset she missed today. To be honest, we'd forgotten all about your coming when she made these plans with her troop. I'm sure she'll be standing at the door waiting for you next Tuesday."
standing at the door waiting for me. I pictured Birdie with her nose pressed to the glass, excited to work on the dog's training. I couldn't let her down, could I? 1 more week won't hurt too much, will it? I mean, I was already this far in. How could I end things without at least meeting little Birdie now? Plus, she'd be so disappointed if the trainer quit after the very first day. You know what? Sure. I'll see you next Tuesday. I walked outside and took a deep breath. Shit. Here we go again. Chapter 8. Sadie.
Bleib. Ruff. Bleib. Ruff.
What the hell are you listening to? Devin had once again caught me goofing off at work. Is that German and barking? I pressed the pause button as fast as I could. I'd been watching another YouTube tutorial on German language dog training. They were all I'd been watching lately whenever I had any spare time. In fact, German dog training had consumed me, to the point where last night, I dreamed I was on trial for some crime, and the entire courtroom was filled with dogs shouting at me in German. No, I shook my head and lied. No German. I don't know what you thought you heard. No? What was it then? There was no way I was getting out of this one. I conceded. Okay, it was. I know it was, because my grandma Inga is German. Are you taking a trip soon? She beamed at the prospect of my traveling abroad. An international dating piece! I'd totally be down to be your assistant on that one. Devin had no clue about the mess I'd gotten myself into, but I was going to burst if I didn't tell someone. If anyone would understand and not have me committed, it would be Devin. Only Devin. No international dating article, I sighed. But I have to tell you something, and you'd better sit down for this. Devin couldn't even stand to sit anymore. She paced excitedly across the space between my cubicle and hers. Oh my God, this is too good to be true. It's a mess is what it is, and it's ending after this next visit. She stopped for a moment. So you plan to play German dog trainer 1 more time and then what? I tapped my pen and blew out a long breath. Then I have to come up with a way out of this. Wait. What happened to the actual dog trainer? That's the question of the year, isn't it? I have no idea. That's the other problem. As far as I know, Gretchen never showed up yesterday, but I have no idea why or if she'll come back into the picture. Let's hope not, she sighed. This is fate, Sadie. The butterfly barrette, the fact that he opened the door right at that moment, the way the dog just listened to your asinine German instructions like you're some kind of expert. This is your window in. Why give it up after 1 more visit? I couldn't believe her suggestion, although I shouldn't have found it surprising. My window into what exactly, Devin? And don't say Sebastian Maxwell's bed. I was actually going to say your window into Birdie's life. You can see her now, check in on her, and not have to make unattainable wishes come true while playing Santa Claus. She paused, then smirked. And it could potentially lead to amazing sex with Sebastian Maxwell, yes. I stood up from my seat. 1 more time and I'm done, Devin. I mean it. I can't lie to that little girl's face. That's the only thing worse than playing God from afar. You're not lying. That's the beauty of this. You just also happen to be training that dog in German. You are the dog trainer. You're earning this. Who cares how you got there? And my name is Gretchen? That's not a lie? She shrugged. Small detail. I pulled on my hair. How do you say fraud in Deutsch? It was a beautiful, sunny, late summer day on 83rd Street. The perfect day for a picnic at the park or a stroll with a cup of coffee. There were a ton of things I could have been doing today, anything besides continuing this facade. But with my heart pounding, I made my way up the stairs of the Maxwell brownstone and proceeded to knock on the door. From behind the door, I could hear Marmaduke's paws scratching against the wood floor as he frantically raced to greet me. When the door opened, there he was, immediately jumping all over me. Who had even opened the door? All I saw was him. It was as if he'd opened it to let me in himself. I turned my cheek, trying to avoid getting slobber in my mouth.
Whoa! Zitz! Zitz!
Apparently, he'd forgotten everything he learned last time. Zitz had done zilch to keep him from standing on his hind legs and attempting to French kiss me.
Come in, Magdalene said from somewhere behind Marmaduke. So sorry about his energy today. As you can see, he's being very rambunctious, so it's perfect timing for another lesson.
I'd been expecting that Birdie would be waiting at the door like Magdalene had said she might, but there was no sign of her. As Marmaduke trailed behind me, I followed Magdalene inside as I looked around in search of Birdie. Magdalene led me into the kitchen. My eyes eventually landed on Birdie's blonde locks. There she is. She looked like she was hurrying to put something back into the cupboard. When she turned around, her cheeks were filled like a chipmunk's.
Are you all right? Magdalene asked.
She nodded fast and mumbled with her mouth full.
Uh-huh.
Did Magdalene not know what she was doing? Because it didn't take a rocket scientist to know that Birdie had taken the opportunity of Magdalene going to answer the door to steal cookies. I laughed inwardly. My little cookie thief. She strikes again. She turned around briefly with her back to us, and when she faced me again, her cheeks were hollow. She'd apparently swallowed the cookies. Now that I wasn't distracted any longer by her cheeks, I really got a look into her beautiful baby blues. Birdie was a stunning little girl, and looking into the eyes of the kid who'd charmed my heart for so long from afar was truly surreal. I couldn't stand to look into those eyes and lie to her, so I decided I would try my best to be as honest as possible under the circumstances.
Birdie, this is Gretchen, Marmaduke's dog trainer, Magdalene said.
Actually, Gretchen is only my work name. You can call me Sadie. Birdie had a confused look on her face.
You have two names?
I paused.
Yes. I want two names. I'm going to think about another name.
Smiling, I said, it's kind of fun, I suppose.
Are we taking Marmaduke to the dog park? Birdie asked.
Yeah, I was thinking I'd let you watch me run through some commands with him, and then I'd have you both try them as well. Birdie bolted out of the room.
I'll get my sweater.
With his tail wagging, Marmaduke followed her down a hallway. After she returned, Birdie, Magdalene, and I walked together to the park. Well, it was more like Marmaduke ran to the park and took me along with him, while Birdie and Magdalene ran behind us. I needed to figure out how to teach him slow down. When we got to our destination, we went in search of a good spot to run our lessons. Birdie turned to me and asked,
Are you German?
No, I'm not.
Then how do you teach Marmaduke in German?
I taught myself the important words, and I'm going to teach you too, so that you don't need me anymore. The goal is to get him to listen to you and to Magdalene and your dad.
Can you teach him not to jump on my daddy's face in the morning? That's how Marmaduke wakes him up, and he gets so mad. I'm afraid if he keeps doing it, Daddy will want to give him away.
I don't think your father will do that. I probably shouldn't have made that promise on Sebastian's behalf. At least I hoped he wouldn't break his daughter's heart in such a way. This time, I came armed with a bag full of treats I'd brought. Having the right kind of reinforcements would hopefully make this easier than last time. I demonstrated sits, sit, and plots, down, a few times myself before handing over some of the treats to Birdie. As usual, Marmaduke's tail was wagging like crazy whenever Birdie took the helm. The level of excitement he had for this little girl was unlike anything else. Birdie squealed in delight the first time the dog listened to her command for a treat. It was truly miraculous how this dog training thing seemed to be coming together. I really hadn't thought I could pull this off, but it seemed I was, for now. But from everything I'd read, proper dog training typically lasted more than just a couple of sessions. There was no way I could just bail after two times without a good reason. So I was going to have to come up with an excuse after today as to why I couldn't return. Even the thought of that was daunting. Ironically, we were working on the command for stay, bleib, when Marmaduke did just the opposite, after he became distracted by a puppy who'd entered the doggy area. No amount of shouting bleib was going to convince him not to chase after the little animal. It took the three of us to rein Marmaduke in and lead him to the quieter area away from the other dogs. After enticing him with a few more treats, we were able to take a rest with him under a tree. Even though it was cooler out, I was definitely breaking a sweat.
"So how did you get into this dog training career?" Magdalene asked.
"Oh, you wouldn't believe."
"It's not my career. It's just something I literally fell into. I do it on the side. I have another job."
"You have two jobs and two names," Bertie laughed. Magdalene smiled.
"May I ask what your other job is?"
"I write a column for a magazine."
Her eyes went wide.
"Oh, that sounds so fun. What's the subject?"
"Dating, actually. I sometimes go on dates and write about them."
Bertie scrunched her nose.
"Ew, you have to kiss them?"
I laughed.
"No, definitely not."
"Good. The only boy I want to kiss is my daddy."
"And I think your dad will be perfectly fine with that for as long as possible," I said. Magdalene and I grinned at each other.
"I bet a lot of the boys want to kiss you," Bertie added. "You have pretty blonde hair and a nice smile."
That was sweet. "Why, thank you, Bertie. Can I tell you a secret?" She leaned in curiously.
"Yes."
I lowered my voice for effect. "Most days, I'd rather kiss a frog," she gasped.
"And then he'd turn into a prince. My mommy read me a story like that once."
My heart clenched.
"Yeah?"
"Yeah, I don't remember it too much. But I know there was a frog and a kiss and a prince."
"That sounds like a cool story, though." She fell silent for a moment before she said,
"Do you know my mother died?"
"Yes, I did know that, actually." Guilt crept up. Magdalene had told me about Amanda last week, but little did they know I knew way more than anyone could have ever imagined. Suddenly, I was reminded of the fact that I was an imposter.
"She died when I was 7.
I promised myself I would do everything in my power not to bond with this little girl today. I needed to let the urge to do that go. Unfortunately, the need to show her that she wasn't alone was even greater. "I lost my mom when I was around your age, too." The look on her face transformed from one of sadness to wonder.
"You did?"
It was as if she'd never heard anyone say that before.
"Yes, I did."
"What happened to her?"
"She died of cancer."
"Mine too."
My heart felt so heavy that I could have sworn it was weighing me down. She looked so relieved to know that someone had been through what she had. It made me happy I'd chosen to open up.
"Did you ever stop thinking about her? I'm afraid I'll forget her when I get older. I only remember a little now."
Trying to reassure her, I said, "I never forgot the things I remembered when I was your age. Because those memories are so important and precious that they are branded into us. And I have a great dad who also made sure I never forgot her either. But you know the number one reason you'll never be able to forget her?"
"What?"
I pointed to my heart. "Because she's right here, always. She's a part of you, and you carry her inside your heart every day. You can't forget your own heart, and you won't." Bertie closed her eyes and whispered,
"Yeah. Okay."
This moment was one I would never forget. Even if I never saw Bertie again, at least I knew I was able to make her feel a little less alone in this world. The entire time she'd been communicating with me as Santa, the one thing I'd always wanted to say to her was, "Me too. I know how you're feeling."
"I'm really happy I met you. I've never met anyone who lost their mom young like me."
I couldn't help but smile. "Well, maybe we were meant to meet, so you could know there are other people out there just like you." Magdalene's eyes were glistening. When I realized I might have taken things a bit too far emotionally, I hopped up.
"Well, let's get back to training Marmaduke, shall we?"
The dog looked like he was half asleep, enjoying the breeze with his tongue hanging out. Bertie and I got him up and once again took turns reciting the commands in German and rewarding Marmaduke as he earned the treats. Everything was going as normal until that puppy from earlier entered his line of sight again. Then it became clear that perhaps our luck in trying to tame him this afternoon had run out.
We led him out of the park and began the trek back to Bertie's house. Once back at the brownstone, Magdalene insisted I stay for a few extra minutes before leaving so that I could taste a dish that she'd been cooking all day in the crockpot. The three of us were at the table and had just finished up the stew when we noticed an odd noise coming from Marmaduke in the next room. When we got up from our seats, it didn't take long to realize he was choking on something. He's choking. The dog is choking. Full-fledged panic set in. Everything from there on in happened so fast. I had just been watching a video the other night on what to do if a dog started choking. YouTube had recommended it because it was related to my dog training search results. I remembered thinking maybe it would be good to watch it, since I'd be taking the dog out one more time. But good God, I never thought I'd have to use any of those skills. I struggled to remember the instructions from the tutorial as I stepped into action, standing behind the dog and placing my arms around his body. Think, think, think. Making a fist with my left hand, I placed my thumb against his stomach, and with my other hand, I pushed upward toward Marmaduke's shoulders. Unsure if I was doing it correctly, I kept repeating this motion until I heard Magdalene yell, "It's out! It's out! It's out!" Bertie echoed, tears streaming down her face. Magdalene went to pick the culprit up off the floor. It was a tiny rubber ball, no bigger than the size of a half dollar. I'd never been so scared in my life. Poor Bertie was so frightened. I hadn't really had any time to think about what almost happened. "You saved Marmaduke's life," Bertie cried as she wrapped her arms around the dog's neck and pressed her cheek against his face. The dog seemed unfazed by what could have happened to him. I bent down to comfort her. I only did what anyone would have done in that situation. Magdalene had her hand on her chest, seeming more rattled than any of us. "I wouldn't have known what to do, Sadie. Thank goodness you were here." The baritone voice from behind literally shook me.
"What the hell is going on? Why is Bertie crying?"
No one had noticed until he'd spoken that Sebastian had come home. Bertie ran to her father.
"Daddy, Sadie saved Marmaduke's life. He was choking on a ball and she did the hymen remover."
Did she just say hymen remover? Clearly, she meant Heimlich maneuver. I would have laughed had he not been giving me the death stare. Sebastian squinted in confusion.
"Who's Sadie?"
She pointed to me and started talking so fast.
"The trainer. She just uses Gretchen for work. Her real name is Sadie, and Marmaduke swallowed the small ball I'd gotten out of the gumball machine at the supermarket the other day. Sadie did this thing to him and it came out. I was so scared, I thought he was gonna die."
"It was really pretty amazing, Mr. Maxwell," Magdalene said. Sebastian looked to me and then back at Bertie before bending down to rub the dog on the head, seeming a bit shaken now that he'd fully absorbed what had just happened. He looked up at me.
"You used the Heimlich maneuver on him?"
God, I didn't even know what I did. I just remembered the steps from that video and stepped into action. "Something like that, yes." Still kneeling down, Sebastian wrapped his arms around his daughter.
"You okay?"
She nodded.
"Yes."
My eyes focused on his strong hands as he rubbed her back.
"Why don't you go into the kitchen with Magdalene and have her give you some cookies and milk?"
He looked at me as he stood up straight.
"Can I have a moment with you, please?"
"Me?" I stupidly said.
"Yes."
"Who the hell else?"
"Sure." I turned to Bertie. "In case I don't see you again before I leave, it was great meeting you, Bertie. See you next week, Sadie. Don't kiss any ugly boys."
I didn't have the heart to tell her that I might not see her next week. Wait, might? Now I was doubting whether I was going to cut things off after today. I followed Sebastian into his office. It was as intimidating as he was, with dark wood and a dark brown leather chair behind his large desk. We stood a good few feet across from each other, and before he could say anything, I started to stammer. She was just... I write for a dating column. I told her that. That's why she said that about kissing boys. I cringed over my own words.
You're a writer?
Yes, the dog training thing is extra. It's extra, all right.
He nodded and contemplated my admission for a moment before rubbing his eyes.
The last thing I needed in this house was that dog. I'd put my foot down for years about not getting one. I work too many damn hours and can hardly keep my daughter alive and healthy, let alone bringing what's closer to a horse into this house.
I understand, it's a lot of responsibility.
My daughter had been asking for a Great Dane named Marmaduke for I don't even know how long. I had no intentions of making that dream come true. But a few weeks back, for some reason, she became convinced that her dead mother was mad at her for some things she'd done. I honestly don't know where she gets some of these ideas. All I know is that the one thing she really wants most, more than a dog, more than anything, I'll never be able to give her. And that's to have her mother back.
He paused. Tears were starting to form in my eyes, but I did my best to fight them as he continued.
So I did something that probably, in retrospect, was a very stupid thing. I got her the exact dog she wanted. I looked everywhere for the right black and white spotted Great Dane, minus the different colored eyes she wanted. I told her that her mother had come to me in a dream, that she'd told me to get the dog, but to let Bertie know that just because she's not getting signs doesn't mean her mom's mad.
He stared off and shook his head.
I basically lied to my daughter to take away her sadness. I've somehow convinced myself that lying for the good of making someone happy cancels the lie out.
Wow. And that, Mr. Maxwell, is precisely why I am standing before you at this very moment.
I understand that more than you know, I said, swallowing. Anyway, things have been better with her since that damn dog arrived, aside from the fact that he wakes me up with a sticky face every day. But that's my problem. My point is, I can't imagine what we would have done if anything had happened to that animal today. Not only for the dog's sake, but for my daughter's. I'm very grateful you were here.
My cheeks felt hot as he stared into my eyes. The power of his emotions was almost too much for me to handle. I cleared my throat. Like I told Bertie, anyone would have done the same thing. His eyes seared into mine, seeming to challenge my feeble attempt to downplay what had happened.
I doubt Magdalene would have known what to do. The fact that you were here saved that dog's life.
Well, I'm really glad I was here, then. He chewed his bottom lip a bit, then added,
I also want to apologize for being short with you when you arrived last week. I was having a bad day for more reasons than one, but that's no excuse.
Well, I was late, so I understand. He said nothing as he slipped his hands into his pockets and continued to look at me. His apology came as a surprise. It proved Sebastian was definitely not the insensitive jerk he appeared to be during our initial meeting. He had a vulnerable side. I could see that now. He was a man who wanted to protect his daughter from having to experience another tragedy. I got the urge to comfort him, to assure him that I understood how difficult it was for a widower dad to take on the responsibility of single fatherhood. After all, I'd lived that life through my father's eyes. But I wouldn't say anything, because at this point in time, I was simply overwhelmed by the power of his stare and felt the need to flee. Anyway, I'd better get going. He nodded.
I'll send your payment to the PayPal address you gave me.
Thank you. As I walked out of his office, I still had no clue how I was supposed to break it to them that I wasn't coming back. Before I exited out the door, though, I did feel compelled to turn around and say one last thing to him. For the record, Mr. Maxwell, from the small amount of time I've seen you and gotten to know your daughter, I can tell you that I think you're doing an amazing job. I'm not just saying that either. You have an incredible daughter, and that's undoubtedly due to the kind of father you are. He blinked a few times, and I didn't think he was going to respond, so I continued my way out the door. His voice stopped me.
Sadie.
I turned around.
Yeah? Call me Sebastian.
He paused, then flashed a genuine smile.
And Danke.
Chapter 9. Sadie.
Number of times per week you enjoy coitus. I chewed the end of my pen while I mulled over yet another tough question. That really depends, doesn't it? I mean, Is he good and gets me to my happy place before crossing the finish line himself? I had to assume that, since I was seeking my ideal mate, they were asking about how things would be with him and not some three-pump chump. My mind wandered to Sebastian. That man had a definite edge to him. There was no way he wouldn't deliver the goods. I sighed. I decided to take advantage of my free matchmaking trial to get my mind off Sebastian Maxwell. Yet he seemed to pop into my head as I pondered every intrusive question. Describe your ideal mate's physical appearance. I closed my eyes and thought about what type of man I was attracted to, then jotted down the description that came to mind. Tall, broad-shouldered, green eyes, chiseled jaw, strong forearms, and a wide alpha male stance. Good God. The only thing missing were the gold flecks in Sebastian's eyes. I really needed to hop off the Maxwell train. Preferred primary residence location. Duh. A brownstone on the Upper West Side, of course. Though, in my defense, I would have answered that one the same even before meeting a certain someone. What song did you last sing in private? Oh, geez. I might have to lie about this one. I'd been feeling a little down this morning, so before I went in the shower, I cranked up an oldie but goodie and twerked to Sir Mix-a-Lot while I shampooed my hair. I was pretty certain we all liked big butts, but it didn't make a very appealing match profile. So I went with something a little more mature. Louis Capaldi's Someone You Loved, and then wasted time thinking about what type of music Sebastian might like. For some reason, I pegged him as a country fan. All those songs about lost women and dogs seemed to fit him. Though, oddly, I got the distinct feeling that Sebastian would be more intrigued by a woman who sang Sir Mix-a-Lot rather than Louis Capaldi. Complete this sentence. I wish I had someone with whom I could share. My immediate response was to write everything, but I thought that might make me sound too needy, so I toned it down a little, yet still went with something that was true and had a bit more personality sprinkled in. Cold pasta and laughs at 2 a.m. The clickety-clack sound of a woman's heels alerted me that Devin was coming down the hall, so I quickly hid the matchmaker questionnaire under some papers.
Coffee time, she breezed into my office. You want the usual?
Yeah, that would be great. I'm really dragging this afternoon.
Oh?
Do anything interesting last night? Since I didn't categorize watching dog training videos as interesting, I shook my head. Nah. Just woke up early and couldn't fall back to sleep. Devin looked down at my desk.
What are you working on?
Copy edits for now.